Hello everyone, and welcome to the new UK radio show. My name is Kevin Smith, and I have a few things to share with you. All of creation is on a one-ticket ride to oblivion, what with the majority of those that live within its constricting confines agreeing with its demise. If awareness does not expand, as it must surely seek to do, as that is the real intent and reason for every individual, then the opposite can be in fact the case. A constriction. People can have whatever they desire in the psych realms, for the mechanism of cause and effect creation is akin to a bubble of reflection. What we set into motion through thoughts, deeds, and desires reflects back by means of effects, and we experience whatever we choose then to project. Not necessarily a bad thing, one might argue, if one were arguing from a very limited literal frame of reference. As it follows, then, that anything is gleanable, anything attainable. One could then, in the full understanding of this process, manifest any life they wished. And so, the infinite possibility of positions is available, from a peasant to a king. This process surely must be easy to grasp and acknowledge just through everyday experience and observation. Most teachings and, restricting though they are, spiritual paths point out this most apparent of fundamental creational happenings. Naturally, very few reference the is, however, and so naturally the controllers are happy enough to encourage the creation of spiritual practice and its propagation. They don't mind what you play with in regards to ideas, as this will keep you in creation. As long as you don't begin to create things that reference and promote the is and the universal guides. Nevertheless, regardless of what we decide or choose for ourselves, the effects must be experienced, and so creation will have us in its clutches. Boredom sets in, even for those individuals who seemingly have creation in the palms of their hands. And it seems then the generally accepted way to alleviate boredom from the position of those that rule everything is to unleash mayhem, to torture, destroy, and use creation as though it were a toilet, to effectively defecate on all individuals, just for amusement and boredom alleviating purposes. Unfortunately, this has dire consequences for not only those defecated on, but those pulling down the pants to do so. The constricting chokehold the controllers have on creation causes then a constriction rather than an expansion, for awareness, generally. Of course, it is every individual's choice to connect with their real awareness or not. No one can realistically save or hinder another. In awareness connecting terms, the decision to do so must be with each person. Although those that control creation certainly do their darnest to ensure it is made as difficult as possible for all those struggling in the matrix, it all stems from fear. The most fearful individuals seek control and subjugation rather than become aware themselves. They'd far more readily project their fears onto others and cultivate the same emotional state as they themselves harbour. Topping the list of their concerns, the controllers, that is the prospect of losing their slaves that effectively provide them with the lavish lifestyles they have come to expect and are accustomed to. The Callum God Grog himself, who sits on his throne in the mental level, maintains his position through the supporting network of reptilians and minions who maintain the slavery, restriction and literal programming of creation. Were it an ideal situation, if awareness were encouraged universally and throughout creation, it still would not necessarily ensure everyone gets with the awareness connecting purpose of their real intent, because everyone must choose for themselves, and only when they are at a stage of readiness to at least take a glimpse at possibilities beyond creation, will they take those first tentative steps. But at least the opportunity would be available. The knowledge and references pertaining to the is and the real guides in plain sight. Yes, it could still be ignored, and probably by the vast majority, but its presence undeniable. For the literal self-convinced masses, were such all is pertaining information available to a great extent, it would be to them like those annoying perfume adverts, irritating in the extreme, but on every channel and advertisement board, so impossible to ignore. And even if they did ignore it, their real selves would recognize it, and into their subconsciousnesses it would go regardless, to one day blossom, instead of all the restricting information and subliminals that are crowbarred into the causal body on a daily basis. And how many individuals out there are looking for this golden opportunity to be a real person in the true reality of the all is, but have as yet failed to find it? For it is virtually impossible a thing to present, try as people may, and getting harder by the day, as new regulatory laws and creational restrictions ensure the spreading of creational liberating material be ever more suppressed and demonized, And so, the references and knowledge of the ears is suppressed and made unavailable, to a great degree, by those who would not wish it received on a grand scale. The programming of creational demise a constant, everything geared and tailored to demise and destruction, and all stemming from boredom, and the fear of losing the slave force that runs the machine of creational collapse. But what perplexes the controllers, in their oblivious, awareness-lacking arrogance, is the oversight that everything agreed upon by the vast majority of those in creation affects directly the creational simulation they are in. And since the agreement is of a destructive variety and very constricting for awareness, this too is reflected in creation, as everything decays, collapses, everything poisoned and polluted. For to look into the night sky now, one would see blackness and a scattering of stars, and assume this was always so, where in reality it was not. For once the night sky had far more stars, light and coloured brilliance. As the idea of time has gone by, as the agreements and compounding effects of ideas over millions of lifetimes of a restricting nature have continued, the reflections in creation are there to see, including the ever-growing darkness seen in the night sky, and black holes now growing in their quantity, swallowing up suns and star systems, the final tumultuous effects of all that restricting agreement demonstrated in creation, as eventually everything will be swallowed up, everything will become dark and lost, and in the final stages of an inevitable process, every individual still clinging onto creation will be crawling about in twisted, distorted bodies, in darkness, scrabbling about for whatever sustenance still survives. The concept of time being, of course, another restricting idea, as everything in creation is in fact choices and cause and effect that stems from the choices made, and the individual's position, circumstances, and collectively that of everyone's, especially in environmental terms, alters accordingly to these cause and effect choices made. And so, what is overlooked by the controllers is this cause and effect demise on a creational level scale. This they fail to grasp or understand, and they too will be caught in the demise and the blackness that will engulf everything eventually. My father, Peter, has had real side dreams of this nature, dreams of a blanketing blackness that sweeps over everything. He found these dreams of a particularly terrifying nature, the fear of the controllers finally manifest in the ultimate abject terror that must be the experience of all who find themselves in such a situation of darkness. at least terrifying from the personal self, as these are emotions we choose to add to a situation or experience. From a real self perspective, we would view everything objectively, adding nothing to what we perceive. The experience is simply that, something to be objectively regarded, with nothing added on top, lest we disconnect from our awareness and become the experience rather than the experiencer. From this objective place of awareness, with our real selves at the wheel, there will be nothing that can't be bared or handled, even should we find ourselves facing the blackness that engulfs all and heralds the final death knell of creation. For if we add ideas and emotion and make the experience traumatic, this we file in our subconscious, and there it will linger. We will be the effects of it, charged emotional reactions, waiting to be triggered whenever similar situations occur again, and of course ensuring we have more future lifetimes to face. And if we bring in the panicking literal personal self, drawing upon the limited palette of references it may possess, as we disconnect from our real awareness, as a result, we will deal with all situations, regardless of what they are, far less effectively. The personal self just gets in the way and muddies the waters, and our ability to draw upon the skills and abilities the real self could bring to bear. And instead of zapping attackers with fireballs and flying away on the back of a dragon, we may well run around in circles screaming and fall down a hole or something. The extent to which I have effectively dealt with unsavoury individuals and hair-raising situations depends vastly on the degree to which I keep the personal self out of it. It will be accompanying us on the real side and on the physical, but as time goes by, it receives assurances that its limited contributional input isn't generally the best course of action. It's as though you must get the personal self to trust the real self, and like trust in any relationship, that takes a few moments. But persistence will ensure that the personal self will be along for the ride, clutching the protection rail of the roller coaster with white-knuckled gritted teeth and closed-eyed panic, but at least it will just sit there and not interject itself by jumping out of the roller coaster at the most inopportune moment. It has only to sit and wait, close its eyes if it must, and soon the ride is over, and there was nothing to worry about after all. I had a recent real side dream too, to give added emphasis on the encroaching darkness that is flooding creation. I was in my in-between state, where I am not awake, yet not asleep, but a medium between the two, maintained by my connection with my real awareness. my personal self with its emotions and thoughts kept at bay, while there a great blackness seeped into my room. It flowed over everything like water. My wardrobe, which seems to be the source from which much phenomena stems from while in this between state, including lights, sounds, snake-like taplines, and even once a purple-scaled reptilian hand. The wardrobe now was filled with this same inky blackness. How the wardrobe bulged with it, the doors threatening to burst open. At first I simply observed, not to be drawn into emotional response, as this would guarantee that not only would I not be able to deal with whatever this situation called for, as I would disconnect from my real awareness, but I'd lose the experience too. The between state that only can be maintained as I remain connected with my real awareness would be lost, and my perception of the darkness gone, as the filters of my created vehicle would rob me of the perception of my awareness. But be assured, just because I no longer would be able to see the experience doesn't mean it isn't there, and far harder to deal with something unseen. Imagine were I unable to see those taplines that once burst forth from my wardrobe. They would have attached, and I'd be oblivious to them. As it happened, I maintained my connection and thus dealt with the taplines and prevented them from latching onto my body. So, with the darkness that wanted to share my room, I maintained my connection to my real awareness. At first, I simply observed objectively, curious as to what this phenomena might be, and what danger, if any, it posed. I had the vague notion that maybe it was something to do with the deep dark border, the void or nirvana, the crossover bridge between creation and the real universes. But with my awareness came insights and knowing. I perceived it to be a darkness, not of this border, but of malevolence. As in the vast majority of situations which are decidedly dodgy, if connected to our awareness, and if we choose not to unleash fireballs and things of this nature, generally I find the New You song is more than sufficient in dispelling the nasties, ridding the creepy real side individuals from our midst, and eradicating any phenomena or situation that is not favourable. And so I began to sing the New You, and the darkness recoiled immediately. I was at this point completely engulfed in it, nothing in my room discernible, but the darkness receded from the golden true reality tones of the New You song. This darkness may have been a manifestation of the dark forces, an intimidatory tactic, or a touch of the darkness flooding through creation due to the agreed-upon constriction that is causing the presence of this creational swallowing up darkness. I saw the other day a documentary about cryogenics. Well, I caught it as I was heading out the door for work. It was being hosted by Mr. Spock. The new Mr. Spock. The actor who plays Spock in the new Star Trek movies. I can't remember his name. I could look it up, but name looking up apathy strikes. For those not familiar with cryogenics, I'm sure most people have come across this at some point. But it offers the elderly and terminally ill the opportunity to freeze their body vehicle in the hopes that they may return back to life in the future. Some people consider the merits of freezing themselves if they are riddled with cancers, and give specific instructions to only be awoken when the cures are found. The bodies are frozen with liquid nitrogen. Advocates believe scientists will one day work out how to warm the bodies and bring them back to life, by which time doctors may be able to cure cancer and other untreatable diseases today. Currently, cryogenic freezing can only happen once someone has been declared legally dead. Here are the details of the process. Freezing begins soon after death to prevent brain damage. The body is firstly cooled in an ice bath to gradually reduce its temperature. In some cases, CPR will also be administered to prevent brain cells from dying. Doctors will drain the body of all blood and replace it with antifreeze fluid, designed to stop harmful ice crystals forming. The body is then packed in ice and transferred to a facility in the US or Russia. On arrival, it is put into an Arctic sleeping bag and cooled by nitrogen gas to minus 11 Celsius over several hours. During the next 2 weeks, the body is slowly frozen until it is at a temperature of minus 196 degrees Celsius. It is then suspended in liquid nitrogen and transferred into a patient care bay, where it will remain indefinitely until science advances. Cryogenics facilities also offer the option of neuro-cryopreservation, where the head is removed and frozen without the body. Scientists theorize that in the future, a new body could be cloned or regenerated for the head to be attached to. And for the privilege of such a process, it will set you back a minimum of $28,000. Well, firstly, I do hope that if I ever were so foolish as to go through such a procedure, that they could actually recreate a body for me if I only had my head frozen. Imagine spending your whole reanimated life as a head in a jar. Interestingly, how the mainstream information suggests the cloning is a science of the future, and this is far from the truth. Cloning has existed since before humans walked the earth. A fairly obvious statement. Of course, there must be other civilizations far in advance of our own that developed such capabilities eons ago. But I was more speaking of the existence of cloning on this planet before humans walked upright as they do, when we were still monkeys before our genetic upgrade. For yes, lest we forget, we are the creations of the reptilians, the reptilian Orions, and their genius geneticist Enki. Millions of years ago they came and altered the DNA of the smartest monkeys they could find to effectively have a slave force to mine for gold for their depleted atmosphere due to their war with the Syrians and food supplies they sought for the same reason, due to shortages as a result of the war with the Syrians. So, the technology was in use millions of years ago. There can be little doubt they had a cloning capability. If the reptilians were dabbling with DNA with such meticulous ease, and leaving their gophers and shape-shifting middlemen to manage the human farming, the technology would be here still, though hidden from our knowledge. Only recently have they announced their amazing cloning discoveries with animals and Dolly the sheep, or was it a cow? I forget. Apparently, human cloning is prohibited, although rumours abound of the elites, the presidents and royal reptilian bloodlines cloning themselves with a fair degree of evidence proving how certain of these characters were in several places simultaneously, or reached locations far swifter than is possible, given today's technology. But then maybe they have transmat beams, or beam-me-up Scotty teleportation devices. Who knows what they have under wraps. Also, alarming evidence has emerged about the cloning of creatures in labs for the purposes of being test subjects for all those chemical and toxic-laden pharmaceuticals and beauty-enhancing makeups that seem to be essential for daily life. Why humans put all that stuff on their faces, I never understood. The stuff is highly toxic and can cause cancers and infertility, along with a zillion other sources of toxins that compound to ensure cancers are as prolific as we've ever seen them to be, along with infertility, autism, etc., etc. But being a lab-grown creature, this in fact denies the suffering individual any rights, for it was not born of nature, and so any rights it had as a natural-born individual is out of the window. Apparently this is a law that then permits this particular brand of suffering. Methinks the laws need updating, as obviously they were created at a time where giving birth to individuals technologically was the stuff of science fiction. Again, unlikely, as suggested, this technology came from the reptilians, who arrived to create their human slave race millions of years ago, and since they never left, neither did their gadgets and gizmos. Labs have more or less admitted to the presence of these lab-grown test subjects, safe in the knowledge that the law of animal and human rights does not affect them, as they have bypassed it. It's a pity laws are needed at all, really. Surely decency should be enough to allow an individual to navigate through life and not impose upon anyone or anything else. But of course, all laws are just restrictions anyway. Sure, they might be needed to keep some mass murderers and their like in check, but were everyone operating from a place of awareness and engaging with others being to being, such ill intentions wouldn't even cross their minds, particularly with the knowledge of cause and effect karma to deal with. That is why the real universes have no laws or restrictions. They are not needed. Everything is, and anything someone may wish to add to that will have them out of alignment with this true reality. All laws are simply ideas created in creation, and they become solidified with agreement, become restrictions and taplining tools. And generally, most laws only apply to the slaves anyway, and not those controllers who initiate them or deem them a necessity. Although they are admitting to their lab-grown specimens. But only speculation abounds for the myriad of creatures they have made, for much gene splicing between species is rumoured, chimeras created with the aim to find certain genetic combinations that are a benefit, particularly for military, as always, applications. I hear stories of half-wolf, half-human hybrids, or half-pig and human creatures, and on and on. One day I might, out of curiosity, try to access these labs on the real side, or try glean information about them and their hybrid inhabitants, maybe have a chat with them, perhaps. Maybe I already have. I have met all manner of strange and curious creatures on my real side escapades. Also, the cloning has been confirmed on the real side too. Dwayne and others have made mention that the controllers have cloning capability, and are using it for, of course, what else? Nefarious purposes. They have, by all accounts, cloned much of the population. I myself had a few dreams where I was informed that I too had been cloned, and that sometimes I shared dreams with my clone, as the cloning process had us intrinsically linked. But the clone really is simply another vehicle, that is all. It won't have any effect or much by way of involvement or influence on whomever it was cloned from. All they have effectively done is create another physical vehicle that happens to be identical to you, and whatever individual is inhabiting it isn't you. It just happens to have the same vehicle, and that is all. It's just as viable a vehicle for experiencing creation as any other. It won't even have your personality. As what you have as a personality, your attitudes and drives are what you have created for your consciousness over millions of lifetimes. So how could another completely unique individual with its own millions of years of created attitudes be any way like you? It's possible they could download your mind and memories onto the clone, but again, all it could have would be all you've experienced only in this lifetime. For the mental body is just a storehouse of what has been experienced with the body created in this life. The seat of the subconscious, the causal body, with all its past life experiences and references, would be beyond anyone's ability to download and add to a clone. But then, anything is possible. Cloning technology and mind mapping would only happen on the physical level, as the scientists could only interface with the physical vehicle and mind. Maybe on higher, literally speaking, levels, on the causal level, say, where our causal vehicles, with all the past life information resides, perhaps cloning of the causal body could take place. To say that cloning potentially could occur and incorporate the entire created self and all five bodies it encompasses is a possibility. But rest assured, the real self would be beyond such. As in the real universes, we no longer would have physical bodies. We are just beings of light. However, some individuals who stand real with the is, but still operate in the psych realms, will have vehicles that correspond with each life level and the physical, that can be utilized for sharing and supporting the awareness expansions of those still in creation. This would apply to the real universal guides, Rebazaar and all the others. And Rebazaar has his physical vehicle too, and on the Earth he resides in a secret location, a cabin or such, that apparently a few individuals have stumbled upon and found Rebazaar residing there. So if the guides have physical vehicles and somehow someone got a hold of some of the vehicle's DNA, technically then Rebazaar can be cloned. But again, only his vehicle, not the unique and inimicable being that Rebazaar is. Dwayne has mentioned this is also the case. The guides have been cloned too, and their clones encountered on the real side. It would be fairly obvious as to why the controllers would wish to do this. They seek to divert, misdirect, intimidate, and waylay everyone who seeks to connect with their real awareness and perceive and stand real with the is. So a handy Rebazaar clone would be just the ticket to attempt to say, put off an individual with a few choice words of disillusionment or discouragement or whatever was required. What I would say on this is that when you encounter real guides on the real side, They have a certain presence about them. They radiate a pure sincerity and beingness that can't be faked, duplicated, or mimicked. A few times I have encountered guides who did not have this quality about them, and through my real awareness, I was then able to see through the deception. Generally, the fake guides will act uncharacteristically of a real being of light, but if in doubt, the intuition, or better yet, awareness, will detect if they have this shining real light of the is about them or not. But anyway, about this whole cryogenic thing. For a start, if people are freezing themselves to one day receive treatments for cancer, here's a heads up. They already have cures for cancers. They always have done, yet they are suppressed due to the billion-dollar industry that is the pharmaceutical company and the money to be made from chemotherapy. Doctors and the medical industry are not about health, but more about wealth. It is their business to cause maximum sickness due to the raking in of the money through the treatments that invariably are just as harmful, if not more so, as what they claim to cure. And of course, all the medications destroy the body, and agreement to them will have us restricted and suffer again, cause and effect consequences, taplining and ensuring more lifetimes awaiting us. And besides, not only is big money to be made through the treatments, but all independent scientists who do stumble upon cures will be vilified, have their reputations destroyed, they will be denounced and stripped of their medical credentials, and most likely be either eliminated or at the very least imprisoned. The cures for cancers seem to run along the lines of frequencies, finding the frequency that corresponds with the particular cancer, and it can be eradicated. Because everything is effectively a frequency. Our physical vehicles are electromagnetic, and any illness or cancer is due to disharmonious frequencies bombarding us, causing distortion, which translates through the electromagnetic to the holographic as manifesting disease. Naturally, this is known to the controllers, and indeed many in the know won't touch chemotherapy. The radiation destroys cells, healthy and cancerous, indiscriminately. There was an individual recently who discovered a very successful cure for many illnesses, ranging from cancer to autism. He had an 80% success rate with both. Even people detached completely with severe autism were being restored and able to function as their vehicle should do. The substance he used was apparently something naturally occurring in the body that keeps cancers at bay. But if overwhelmed, as our bodies generally are in this polluted and purposefully poisoned world, this substance becomes depleted and cancers, etc., can set in. What he had achieved was replicating this body substance in a lab, and then could be ingested like a pill, with evident and clear success results, as were demonstrated on his website. The substance was called GC-MAF, and the individual credited with the discovery is David Noakes. But of course, the big pharma companies declared war on him, and he was subject to inquiry, shut down, and imprisoned. It is another law that you cannot promote cancer-treating claims unless approved by the pharmaceutical cartel, and naturally they are not about to do this if it impacts their profit margins. As things stand, David Noakes faces the rest of his life behind bars. So when it comes to curing cancers in the future, as I say, they have cures for everything now, and suppress anyone who stumbles upon them. So I imagine things are not likely to change in that regard. More likely, things will become steadily worse as the control agenda rolls on, and more stringent lockdowns of the human slave race brought into effect. Coupled with this also is the fact that the controllers wish to cull the population. We are unmanageable as we stand, and too many people are waking up to what's occurring, and even worse, from the controllers' perspective, people are becoming more aware. The new presentation is here, and they don't like it. They've elected to pull the plug then, to cull most of the population, and for those surviving this cull, an Orwellian, robotized, locked down, constricted world, that surely would not be worth surviving the cull for anyway. And don't think by leaving the physical level and passing on that you might escape the matrix of control. As that, which all this stems from, has all the levels up until the mental level on lockdown. The Callum God of the mental has you in his clutches, and when passing over, assuming you don't go beyond his reach, you're as much under his control as you were on the physical. So culling the population is of no concern to him or the controllers in regards to ceasing individuals from awakening too far. For it is far more difficult to wake up on the levels beyond the physical. If one lacks any connection to the real awareness, so someone with, say, little or no awareness, who can at least see the agenda on the physical, will probably have no interest on the astral when passing over, particularly if they didn't take the time to consider or perceive the life levels beyond the physical. It will all seem like a floaty, surreal dream, or they may feel they have made it to their designated heaven and the struggle is over, or whatever ideas they are attached to. Beliefs they have incorporated into their created consciousness. For the Callum God and the other reptilian governors of the psych realm levels will be more than happy to accommodate an individual's limited perspectives if it means gleaning their agreement to remain on these limited creational levels, to go no further, and at some stage be regurgitated back onto the physical once again. And if returning to the Earth, probably in even worse control conditions, and more likely as not robotized. The only way to escape this most fiendish of reptilian overlords, the Callum, is through awareness. With the real intent recognized, that of recognizing the is through the connection with our real awareness and our true selves, which are with the is always, we can supersede the limited levels of the psych realms, and through the process of removing tap lines with the new you song, and relinquishing agreements and attachments, we can simply walk through creation and be a real being of real light, which we already are. We just must recognize it. So individuals connected to their real selves would fear not a cull. Yes, their physical vehicles could be destroyed. Then they'd simply move through creation and position themselves in the real universes, should they have taken the time to recognize this true reality and stand real in it with the real universal guides. So this whole cryogenics thing is silly to the extreme. From the perspective of a potential future of cancer and illness-free science, which probably won't exist for the majority of people, and considering they want most of the population dead or so, to the whole notion of returning to their body after it has been frozen, thawed out and ready to go. If you die, which you will if you go through this process, as what is occurring here is that your vehicle is made unusable. You are not your vehicle. You are the real individual with the is animating the physical vehicle and all five body vehicles, in fact. When your physical vehicle is no longer able to function and dies, the individual using the vehicle will exit it and pass on to their next position. The next position, depending upon what said individual has decided on, focused upon, the extent to which they have earned their way into the higher, literally speaking, levels, or simply pass to the astral, having considered only their personal self. So on leaving the physical frozen cryogenics vehicle, an individual now passes on to their next position, and lacking any awareness, which obviously a person who hasn't even embraced the concept of reincarnation, let alone connecting with their real awareness, that individual must be just physical, astral, and one-dimensionally literal. Then they will float about the astral, forgetting everything from the physical life, wander about in an awareness oblivious daze, and when they cannot go any further, as their awareness and lack of recognition of the life levels beyond the physical will disallow them to do, they will become bored and drift back to the physical to be reincarnated once again. A random roll of the dice as to where they may end up. The position they return to will be based on cause and effect karma. Without the connection to the is, they are subjected to the lords of karma, who dictate their next position on the physical based on what they did in their prior lifetime. Suffice is to say, they won't return to their frozen cryogenics body unless for some reason the lords of karma dictate that the individual's next lifetime will be in the reanimated popsicle of a vehicle they previously had. But in theory, the body isn't unfrozen until the scientists discover how to reanimate it. Neglecting to realize that simply reanimating a body will do nothing but activate an empty vehicle, for what animated it has long gone. So an individual would, and with the nod of the Lords of Karma, as we play out this possibility, have to wait until the precise moment where, and if, the mad scientists thaw out the previous vehicle in the contention that they believe they have discovered how to reanimate the person, and then leap into the thawed-out vehicle and continue from where they left off. Sounds a little far-fetched, but anything is possible in creation, and we know that we can decide, choose, and have anything we want. So, if a person rigidly didn't believe in reincarnation and maintained a cast-iron want to return to their frozen body as their next life position, or life position revisited, then it could be so. We are always the decider of everything we want and do, from finding ourselves stuck in the ground due to believing that we are to remain 6 feet under after we die, to assuming any role or position we seek, to even, presumably, returning to a vehicle once abandoned, to continue on with it where we left off. This scenario would unfortunately reinforce the scientists' contention that the body then was the person, and see here, we reanimated it, and the person is back with us again. Blissfully unaware of all the process that occurred in our theoretical ponderings that led to that moment. Usually we simply pass over, are subjected to the Lords of Karma, and when bored enough, we go grab the vehicles our real self has fashioned for itself, and back to the physical we go. We create our own vehicles based on what we have done in regards to cause and effect. The more dire our cause is, the more malformed and distorted our vehicles may be, and the opposite holds true also. Those operating more along the lines of the qualities exhibited by a real being of light and sound, those of a more sincere and pure persuasion, will have far more advantageous vehicles for surviving the life they may find themselves in next. I liked how Dwayne described it as a hunk of clay, and depending on your activities in your previous life, how much clay you have to work with. How controllers who diminish others and constrict through their distorted marketing ploys will find themselves in a vehicle of a similarly distorted nature, physically or mentally. although everyone who returns in future body forms will find them distorted due to the agreed-upon demise that is wracking creation. Everyone has the vehicle and position they have chosen for themselves, the circumstances and situations, and unfortunately, just being a good person will not save someone from this distorted future position. For unless an individual connects with their awareness, makes the connection with the is, then they are subconsciously programmed to agree with the demise of the world, and so receive the cause and effect consequences for agreeing with this. The connection with the is will bypass the programming subconsciously of this destruction, but the individual still must decide to not agree with the distortion also, with the intent pure and sincere to supersede creation. The guides will take care of some of the karma, and in fact for everyone who is utterly sincere with their intent to be with the is, there is in fact no more karma. Rebazar Tars has stated emphatically that karma is no more. The slate is wiped clean, but only for those with the sincerity to stand real with the true reality of the all is. As a side note, every time we do return into a new vehicle for a new life, we have no conscious recollection of our previous lives. We have a new vehicle and a new mind, and we begin to experience and gather information to add to our created consciousness. All our past lives do exist with the causal body, a storehouse of everything we've been through, full of experiences, references, agreed upon ideas, and practiced habitual reactions to all manner of stimuli we've encountered on our journeys. We can only access the causal vehicle through awareness. Most people are physical, astral, literal, and emotional, and so the past life data house will be out of reach. But not always. Some do remember past lives if they are adamant about doing so. Again, anything is possible in creation, and we decide to do and be whatever we want. But that does entail cause and effect, as creation is based upon this. I would ponder then a final note. What if an individual did re-enter their thawed body? Naturally, they'd still not necessarily have access to their causal past life history, as their lack of awareness would not allow. But instead of starting as a baby then, the usual process, and by the time they are older, gone through the indoctrinating, literal ensuring, educational process, they will have no memory of their position generally before coming into the world. If they jumped back straight into their adult body of their previous life, would they more likely retain a memory of their encounter with the Lords of Karma and the Astral? Probably not, as the brain which experiences and stores everything each lifetime would have been inactive and disabled during the freezing. So the experiences on the next position of the Astral would have, yes, been experienced, but not stored in the mental vehicle. So effectively, they would be jumping into a body, resuming their position from where they left off, if they were indeed able to do so, but the experiences between being frozen and rethawed would be lost. It would only be in the causal body now, and access denied, unless aware enough to do so. At least, I think so, anyway. But these things could be pondered forever, and really all considerations, ideas, and mullings are the domain of the mental vehicles, the literal side. If you use the sun as a demonstration, which is the reflection echo of the ears, does it ponder such things? Certainly not. It just is, and shines as a demonstration of just being, an isness, a pure beingness. It's easy to get distracted by phenomena in creation, and spin off into tangents and avenues of thought and deliberation. But the focus ought be the is, and recognizing this true reality with our real awareness. Incidentally, it's feasible that if these doctors did reanimate these physical vehicles, and they are technically then suitable havens for an individual, it makes you wonder what might occupy them. If my suggested hypothetical scenario as to how the original occupier of the thawed vehicle could re-inhabit it failed, but the body was successfully thawed and a perfect vehicle for an individual, might some other individual seize this opportunity to do so? Maybe it is in fact a position assumed due to the decisions an individual made, their choices and focus, that has them now assuming an almost second-hand vehicle, if you will, like taking possession of another person's car. They would then come into this vehicle and take on the memories and experiences it had had up until the point it was frozen. But naturally, whatever consciousness the new individual had created for themselves up until this point would be maintained. But they'd now incorporate the life experiences that this vehicle had had and align them with their own attitudes, personality, and other decided upon ideas and ways of being. It's conceivable that the new individual, claiming a vehicle previously owned by another, won't be able to differentiate between the experiences and memories housed in the vehicle prior to assuming it, or those that now start to accumulate once claimed, for there would be no difference. It is just a vehicle, absent of its prior owner, like someone getting a second-hand computer that the previous owner neglected to wipe clean the memory and data. If you came at it from a state of awareness, you could then be objective in this way and more readily differentiate between these experiences that technically are not yours, but you can now still access as references and incorporate as you wish. Like getting that second-hand but still data-full computer, the operator being the real you, and with access to this vehicle with extra information you hadn't downloaded yourself, but nothing to get confused about. You are simply able to be aware of this. And of course there is another scenario, another potential usurper of this now very viable and convenient reanimated vehicle. In the lower astral, there dwells entities. These are generally of a very dark and unsavoury breed. For you don't get to the lower astral unless your choices and decisions are of a despicable nature, particularly awareness-constricting of others, say, or generally just imposing on others in less than sociable ways. These entities always seek vehicles on the physical, and they have many ways of acquiring them. Possession as an example. They can align with an individual and not only gradually take control of the vehicle, but can push the owner of the vehicle out and claim the body for themselves. The individual whose body it was will simply then be off onto their next position, maybe sooner than anticipated. Maybe it was their cause and effect karma to experience such. So theoretically, a lower astral nasty could jump into this reanimated vehicle, and why not? It's a perfectly suitable body, assuming it is successfully reanimated and functions as it should, and there's even the added bonus of not needing to push out the current occupier. And these entities animating these vehicles would make for some frightful humans indeed. The entities are just individuals too, having wound up in the lower astral due to awareness lacking poor choices, and eventually they might recognise their real intent and awareness too. Everything is just experience, and all experience, if viewed objectively, can assist us in our awareness process. For that is what all creation, all lifetimes, all vehicles earned or stolen, and all experience is for. We are here for a singular reason, to be with the is, to recognise and perceive it. That concludes the new UK radio show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I will look forward to speaking with you again next time. I will be downloading this radio show and breaking it up into excerpts and putting it on YouTube. And so all that remains is for me to sing the new you song. New you.